morning and happy Mother's Day to all the moms. We congratulate you on this special, special day. We're glad you're here with us today to worship the Lord. And before I get into the message and have a lot to say about mothers, I also want to take this opportunity to call something very important to your attention. Did you notice, as busy as William Moore has been in the service this morning, did you notice this look as though a load has been lightened from his shoulders? Did you notice that look? I want to tell you why that is. This past week, he completed his coursework and graduated with a Master of Divinity degree from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Let's give him a hand. And we're really proud of you. That is a tremendous accomplishment. And let me just say this on what it means to get a Master of Divinity degree. There are master's degrees, and there is a Master of Divinity degree. This is a degree that a lot of people don't understand this, but I want you to know this because of all the work he had to put in to do this. A master's degree takes a lot of work in itself. But when you get a Master of Divinity degree, it is the equivalent of about 2 master's degrees. That's how much coursework is involved in it. And it is just, it's kind of like the BMW of master's degrees. And William has done very, very well to do this. And I just congratulate you, and I'm glad that you rejoice in what he has been able to accomplish as a church as well. This is tremendous, and it's good to give honor and recognition to what he has accomplished in that. And I know you've been a partner with him in doing that, and certainly Sheila has. That's why she looks relieved, too, as he has that degree finished now. That's a good thing. All right, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 through 11. And I'm going to bring a message that I've entitled, The Mighty Power of a Godly Mother. The Mighty Power of a Godly Mother. And while you're turning there, just let me say this. I understand that Mother's Day can bring out different kinds of emotions in people. Some of us are in the situation as I'm in today. My mother's in heaven, and I'm thankful she's there with the Lord, but still wish that she was here to be with me here too. You, many of you are in that category. You know what I'm talking about. And there are others that your mother is alive and well, and you're honoring her today, and make this a special day by all means. Do your very best to honor your mother on this day. And then also realize that there is a category of women who would like to be mothers, and it hasn't happened yet in their lives. For some, it may not happen. It may not be a part of God's plan. But we realize today that there are a lot of different categories and a lot of different emotions that people feel. But all of us have a mother. Whether here, whether with the Lord, we have a mother, and so we give honor and recognition on this day. Well, I want to read to you about one of the most special mothers in the Bible. Hannah is her name. She's the mother of the prophet Samuel. And so I want to read these verses and then make reference to more of the verses in chapter 1 and some of the early chapters in 1 Samuel as we go along. And so let's read now in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. So Hannah arose after she had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." May God bless the reading of his word this morning. There's a statement that was made several years ago by a man. His name is William Ross Wallace. And he said, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And that's a true statement. And as our mothers are, so are our homes. And as our homes are, so is our nation. And as are the nations, so is the world. And so in reality, the hand that rocks the cradle really does rule the world in that way. Several years ago, President Theodore Roosevelt made this statement about mothers, and I've always thought what a wonderful statement this is. He said, "When all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist." I think that is a great statement. I believe the mother that we've read about in this passage of Scripture this morning is that kind of mother. Hannah exemplifies the mighty power of a godly mother. And so for the next few minutes, I want to share with you four guidelines for how a godly mother can raise godly children. So we've got a lot to cover in a few minutes. I'll talk fast if you'll listen fast. And I hope we both get finished at the same time. It's terrible when people finish listening before the preacher's finished preaching. I'll try to end at the same time you do. But let's look at these four guidelines for how a godly mother raises a godly child. First of all, guideline number one, you must begin to raise your children before you conceive them. Now, that point almost sounds like a riddle, because you think, how can you do that? How do you begin to raise your children before you even conceive them? Well, the way that happens is you begin the process in prayer. You begin praying that God would give you a child before that it ever happens. That's what is occurring with Hannah as she is before the Lord in the tabernacle, praying to God and making a vow to God and asking the Lord to give her a child. Later on, Hannah is able to say in verse 27, "For this child I prayed." And when God blesses you as a mother and gives you a child, you should be able to say the same thing: "I prayed for this child. This is a gift of God that has been given to me from the Lord." So I think it's a wonderful thing for young men and women in marriage to begin to pray that God would bless them with his children. And if it be his will, he will certainly do that. But it's good to begin this process in prayer. Maybe you've been praying for a long time and God has not granted you to be able to have a child yet. Well, let me encourage you, don't give up. Because there are several people in the Bible that were in that same situation. Think about Abraham and Sarah for just a moment. Think about Elizabeth and Zechariah. Think about others who've been in that situation, and God heard their prayers and God gave them a child. And so let me encourage you, begin the process of raising your children in prayer. Begin in prayer. That's the first guideline. But then there's a second guideline for how a godly mother raises godly children, and that is your child should be seen as a gift from God and should be given back to God. Your child should be seen as a gift from God and should be given back to God. That's what Hannah is doing in verse number 11 in her praying. When she says, O Lord of hosts, if you will look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget me, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. I'll give this child that you give me, I'll give him back to you, Lord, for your purposes in his life. Now, no mother can make a minister or a missionary out of her son or daughter, but you can give your children to God. And God knows what he wants to do with your children. God has a plan for them, just like he has a plan for you. And you can't improve on God's plan. And you don't want to miss anything that God has in regard to his plan for your life. So mothers and daddies both want great things for their children, don't they? And so you think, what do you want for your child? Do you want money? Do you want fame? Do you want pleasure? Do you want recognition? I love what the Apostle John says, because I think what he says in the book of 3 John, he makes this statement. He says, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. I think that's the greatest joy for every mom and every dad too, to be able to say that about their children, that my children walk in the truth. I want to encourage you, mothers, to give your children to the Lord and mold them and shape them and let them see God at work in your life in such a way that your children want God to be at work in their lives too. Give them an example of a godly life. I heard the story some time ago about a group of men who were in a discussion about their favorite version of the Bible. And one man said, you know, I still like the King James Version. Out of all the new translations, I still like the King James Version. Another man spoke up and he said, you know, I really like the New International Version. Another man spoke up and he said, I like the New American Standard Bible. Another one spoke up and said, I like the ESV, the English Standard Version. And so they're going on in their discussion. And one man spoke up and he said, I like Mama's translation the best. And the men looked and said, what? Your mother? Was she a biblical scholar? Which translation of the Bible did she do? And the man said, my mother translated the Bible into everyday living. Hey, that's what every mom ought to be doing. That's what we all ought to be doing, is taking the words of Scripture and translating it into everyday life, being a living Bible that our families can see, that our community can see, that our co-workers can see. We need to be that kind of person. And so, will you give your child to God and allow God to make your child into what you would have them to be? Would you be willing for your child to be a missionary rather than a medical doctor? Would you be willing for your pastor, for your child to be a country pastor instead of being a bank president? Will you give your child to the Lord? Hannah said, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. But then there's a third guideline for raising godly children. And that third guideline is never waver in your prayer life, no matter how dark the circumstances. Now, I mentioned that Hannah began this process of bringing a child into the world before there was ever conception, she prayed. But she continued to pray. And look at verses 12 through 18. I want to just read those very quickly. It says, "And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you.' But Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now.' Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him.' And she said, 'Let your maidservant find favor in your sight.' So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." Here is a woman who knew how to get in touch with God in prayer. I tell you something, prayers of a mother are a powerful, powerful thing. If you have a mother who prays for you, thank God for that kind of mother. Thank God for a mom that will lift you up and pray for you throughout all the things that you face in your life. The power of a praying mother. Hannah is such an example before us today. Think of the love of this mother that's being displayed even at this moment before the child is brought into the world. And then we're going to see how she continued to do some things that that also kept that emphasis in her life. You know, I'm sometimes shocked. Even in the world today with all the crazy things that happen in our world. We heard the story this past week. It happened not far from where Lisa and I live. And you probably heard the story too. On the news or read about it in the paper about the mother who decided that she was just going to literally throw her child away out the window of her car down into a ravine. And thank God some good godly people came to the rescue of that child. But you look at it and you think, what could possess a mother to do that to her own flesh and blood and to throw a 7-month baby out the window and say, "I don't want you anymore"? Well, look at that example on one hand, that poor example, and then look at the godly example of Hannah, who is praying that God would give her a child, and contrast it with this story that I'm getting ready to tell you. It's a story about a mother who was making her way across the hills of the country of South Wales, and she was in the middle of a blinding snowstorm. This mother was carrying a small baby in her arms on her journey through the blinding snowstorm. Unfortunately, this woman, this mother, never reached her destination alive. But just before she died, she took off her outer clothing and she wrapped her little baby with that clothing. And when they found the mother and baby, the mother was dead, but the baby was still alive. And with the last warmth of her own body and the clothing that she wrapped around that infant, the baby was spared. And that baby grew up to do very, very well. That baby was David Lloyd George, who eventually became the Prime Minister of Great Britain. I mean, you never know who you're raising. You never know who may be brought up in your authority and under your rule in the home. And I'm telling you, there are forces in this world that will come against our children, but they are no match for a mom who knows the power of prayer for her children. So never waver in your prayer life no matter how dark the circumstances. And then last of all, the fourth guideline is this. The battle is more often won and lost in the little things of life. The little things of life. Now, notice something in this passage that you have to pay particular attention to or you'll miss it. And it's the role of worship in this passage of Scripture. That may seem like a small thing, but to God it's a huge thing. And to those who truly worship, it's also a huge thing. But I want you to notice the progression in these verses. In chapter 1, verse 24, the Scripture tells us that the child was young, and there is the child in the house of the Lord. And let me just stop there before we trace this a little bit further and say, while your children are young, that's a great time to have them in church. You know, I know that it's easy to use children as a reason for staying home, but children are one of the best reasons you have to come to church, especially to a church like this one here at Starnes Cove that loves children, that cares about children, that are willing to make the kind of commitment that you made today in the dedication ceremony. Not only are these parents dedicated to raising their children upright, but the church is dedicated to do the same thing. Oh, what a wonderful fellowship of believers to raise up a child in. And Hannah had Samuel after he was born there in the tabernacle, and he was young. In verse 24. And then in verse 28, it says, therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. They're worshiping again. Then look at chapter 2 and verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. So Samuel's growing up in the house of the Lord. He's been brought up there. And now he's doing ministry there, even as a child. He's ministering unto the Lord. And then look at chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20, and you see the result of it. It says, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. So there you have it. Godly mothers have a special role and a special plan in raising godly children. What a huge, powerful impact you're able to make as mothers. 1809, that was a long time ago. 1809, the world was in a real interesting spot at that time because the world was trembling at the power of Napoleon. It looked like that he would conquer all of Europe. But something else happened in 1809. That proves that God pays attention to little babies even more than he does to battles. Because in 1809, that year, there was a little baby born by the name of Abraham. You and I know him as Abraham Lincoln. He grew up and made quite an impact, didn't he? And then also that same year in 1809, Oliver Wendell Holmes was born. So was Elizabeth Barrett Browning, Alfred Lord Tennyson, Frederick Chopin, Felix Mendelssohn. They were all born in 1809, and they all made an impact upon the world around them. And while the world was focused on battles, God was focused on babies in bassinets. And God took mothers and God took babies and He changed the course of history. And in our text today, God took a woman named Hannah and a baby by the name of Samuel. And God taught Samuel, Hannah to pray and gave her a child that literally changed the world in his day. What's it going to take to change our world? A lot of people give various answers to that question. But I don't think there's a better answer that can be given than for God to give godly mothers, godly children who can grow up and to help change this world. Thank you, moms. Thank you, Christian moms, for being a part of that. There's a lot of hope in that today. And I have more hope in that than anything that we're really going to see happen. And so in some of the places of political power or other places around our world that are known as places of prestige and power, I believe what can happen in homes and families can have more to do with changing our world than anything else. I'm going to ask that we bow together in prayer. And we're going to sing a song of invitation. If you would like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, to rededicate your life, to come for church membership, to bring a prayer need here to the altar, whatever it may be, I want to encourage you to do that today. Let's bow together before we sing the song of invitation. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that You would just continue to reach out and speak to all of us in this place. Draw those unto You who need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Oh God, thank You for mothers. We give You thanks. We give You praise today. Bless every one of them and help them to be honored and loved and to know they're appreciated this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. Pastor William is going to be here at the front to help to lead in this time of invitation. Just allow God to do what He wants to do in your life in these next few minutes as we sing.
Jesus, I come.